Why don't we all stand up and sing All Creatures of Our God and King, the traditional version of this hymn.
The silver moon with stars.
creatures of our world, God and King. Lift up your voice and let us sing. The moon and sun streaming joys and joy. Praise to the Lord of light divine. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Praise the Father ever. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. For he sings the heaven. Sing hallelujah. Praise to the giver of good things. Mercy for Father, holy. Join with the angels in the sing of love. Praise to the reigns above the world. Sing hallelujah. With us. Thank you for being thirsty for God's will and His Word. And if you are here, it means that your soul is thirsty for God. And this is great because you find the source, the healing, the blessings from God. He's the one who provides us with that. Lord Jesus, come. Oh, Father. Thank you for tonight and bringing us all together here to praise you and your Son. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings and your wonderful gifts you've given us here on earth. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness and we have done wrong. Lord, please be with us tonight and let us speak through your word to us tonight and let us open our eyes and learn something new. Keep us safe and from sickness and harm. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Just imagine while we are singing right now, worshiping God, on the other half of the hemisphere of the earth, in Russia or in Europe, people are sleeping, but we are praying for them too. And when we go to bed, when we'll be sleeping, they will wake up and will be praying for us too. And this is unceasing prayer that is going every day, every night, 24 hours, and God is worshipped for 24 hours. Isn't that great? So let's sing He Reigns, and just let's think that there are our brothers and sisters who are maybe persecuted, who have to hide together, risking their lives, but they come to worship. Maybe there are missionaries in the tribes who need that support, that prayer support. So let's sing and think about all our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, crowning of the Amazon rain. The song of faith and believers, filled with God's holy sun. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a rock on the faithful God. It's all the children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all the children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns. Come from the towers of cathedrals, where the faithful gathered on the ground. Our Father's songs and from the generation, sorrow mentioned to sin. Our Father's passion from a thousand evil, nothing to remain. Sunday during our worship service, we heard the scripture. Brother Larry chose that scripture for us. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I didn't plan to use exactly this verse from the Bible, but I'm glad that Brother Larry reminded it to me, because it goes well with what I was going to speak tonight. We all know and feel that the world around us influences us a lot, but sometimes we don't even realize how much and in what aspects. If I'd ask you tonight, who wouldn't like to be always young and beautiful? Who doesn't like to be always beautiful? Yeah, I see some hands, but not all of you are raising them. I guess generally, and maybe most of us would like to be beautiful. But I need to tell you the following. Have you ever thought that there are two standards of beauty? This world's standard, which is changing all the time, and God's standard, which is unchangeable. Unfortunately, people today prefer to be good-looking according to this world's standard, and they don't care much about being beautiful according to God's standard. The consequences of this: people are losing their soul. Maybe you'd ask why? Because of idolatry. There are two main things that can characterize worshiping idols. First, bringing sacrifices. Second, relying on it. The belief that your life depends on this idol, and try to do the best to please that idol. We hear and see these stories all the time about models who starve themselves to death, or we hear about people, young girls especially, developing anorexia nervosa, an eating disorder in which people do not eat correctly due to the obsessive fear of weight gain. Or we hear about people who look just fine, but yet want to go through very expensive, complicated plastic surgery just to look like breastfeed, or just to change their face. This idol of beauty can be very cruel. It compromises even people's health and life. You probably have heard the old saying, beauty demands what? Sacrifice. We are told over and over again that our image and outward appearance is the most important thing today. Without it, we won't be successful and happy. And in order to follow these world standards of beauty, we voluntarily bring our time and money to this idol. The funny thing that fashion changes so easily, you know. It differs in every nation, every century, through the entire history of mankind. During the medieval times, women had to be pale, with no eyebrows, and with small mouths. Now they must have thick eyebrows and big lips of Angelina Jolie, right? In the 18th century, men had to wear wigs. Now we would be giggling seeing a man wearing an 18th century wig to his job, right? In some African tribes, they darken teeth to be beautiful. In civilized countries, you cannot be beautiful without an absolutely white smile. Is that correct? American standard of beauty, blonde hair and tan skin. French standard is dark hair, white skin. There is a joke about how men in different cultures evaluate women's beauty. Russian men, they look at women's face. French men, they look at women's legs. And Americans, they look at boobs, right? If you were slim a couple of centuries ago, you wouldn't be considered beautiful. But now it's quite opposite. were trying to lose weight and to be skinny. Not me, though. If you want to check yourself, just look thoroughly at your daily schedule, routine. How much time out of the day you spend on your appearance? On choosing clothes, fixing your hair, putting makeup on, looking in the mirror, manicures, pedicures, thinking how do I look, turning over the pages of fashion magazines, shopping for clothes, discussing how do others look, all of that stuff. And then compare that time with how much time you spend on God, fellowshipping with Him, reading the Bible, praying, sharing your experience of God with others, meditating, thinking about His ways and what He's doing in your life. Our priorities easily expose what or who is in the first place in our life. God, or just a bunch of tiny and big idols? So what's bad in worshiping idols in general, and idol of beauty in particular? What's bad in conforming to the parents of this world? Well, nothing more than just to risk our souls. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So as you hear, idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. There is a remarkable novel written by an Irish writer of the 18th century, Oscar Wilde. It's called Picture of Dorian Gray. It's about a young, handsome man whose picture was beautifully painted by a talented artist. Under the influence of his new friend, Dorian begins to think that beauty is the only worthwhile aspect of life and the only thing to pursue. He wishes that the portrait of him would grow old instead of him. Dorian declares that he would give his soul if he were always to be beautiful. Soon Dorian notices that the portrait of him has changed. It happened after he cruelly broke his fiancée's heart, which led her to suicide. After examining the painting, Dorian realizes that his wish has come true. The portrait expression bears the mark of the cruelty of his deed, and later of other things as well as of aging, while his own outward appearance remains unchanged. Dorian is so afraid that people will know this secret and will be able to see his soul depicted in the painting, that he is even led to murder. But you know, it's amazing that we sometimes don't realize that this phantasmagorical idea of Oscar Wilde's soul picture actually exists. God is having that picture. It's in front of Him. There is a picture of our soul, which only God sees. And He's looking at that day and night. Dorian hears a preacher one day on a city street who cites Jesus' words from Matthew 16:26. "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul?" But unfortunately, Dorian is unable to follow that. And he dies tearing the picture with a knife, killing his own soul. You might think this is just fiction. Well, sometimes when I watch TV and see people desperately wanting to change their outward appearance, change their face or body and become beautiful no matter what, I always remember that story of Dorian Gray. There are 5 major misunderstandings that people have. Many people don't realize, first of all, that our appearance is God's gift, and this should be appreciated. But people are never satisfied with their bodies. Beginning with the young age, they're looking in the mirror and saying, "Oh, I hate my nose, I hate my ears, I hate my face." forgetting that they are offending not only their parents, but God Himself. I believe that physical body and character, which altogether represent our unique personality, are given to us as they are, with a purpose. God loves us, and as the perfect Father, He gives the best to His kids. He knows what He's doing. By the way, take a second, please. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "You're beautiful because God made you." Thank you. Also, the second misunderstanding. People don't realize very often that beauty can be a burden. Sounds crazy, right? But think about this. If you are very beautiful, and here I'm talking about the world standards of beauty. If you are very beautiful, you probably and inevitably will be a heartbreaker. It's natural. Beauty that attracts people, both good and bad. But if you love God and want to be kind to others, you might feel guilty from time to time for being a heartbreaker. Moreover, many beautiful people suffer from loneliness. They are admired and surrounded by attention all the time, though rarely having sincere warm-heartedness from others. I think the life of Marilyn Monroe is a good example of tragedy of that beautiful woman. There is another very big disadvantage of being extremely beautiful. You might be more attacked with temptation. Look at the celebrities. Private life for most of them, it's miserable, sometimes disgusting, filled with adultery and lies. It looks like it's almost impossible for them to remain faithful to their spouses, but popularity spoils them and makes them cranky. If you're extremely beautiful, you need an extremely strong character and wisdom to keep your soul pure before God. Every gift God gives us, and beauty is certainly a gift, is expected to be used for His glory. Do you remember the story of Esther? God gave her beauty and let her win the beauty contest to fulfill a dangerous and very responsible task, to save Jews from being slaughtered. So there is God's purpose in giving beauty to people. When I worked in a mission in St. Petersburg, and we worked with orphanages, a part of our program was to teach kids about God. But usually the staff in the orphanages, teachers, counselors, and principals, are atheists who are very skeptical about Bible lessons. And very often they would even try to hinder us. Well, the leader of our group was a very attractive and stately and beautiful girl. And we noticed that many times, even when directors of the orphanages were not excited about letting orphans to have our Bible classes, they just couldn't tell her no. Her one beautiful smile was enough to solve the problem. But what we are taught through the media today, to use beauty for being sexy, for flirting and seducing, when I think about striptease artists, I feel so bad for them. They have no idea what they destined themselves to. God's word was extremely stern to Israel women during the prophet Isaiah times. But His word has not changed. It's the same today. Let me read to you some excerpts from the chapter 3 of Isaiah. Jerusalem staggers, Judah is falling. Their words and deeds are against the Lord, defying His glorious presence. The look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them! They have brought disaster upon themselves. Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked! Disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. The Lord says, the women of Zion are haughty, walking alone with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, tripping along with mincing steps, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. Therefore, the Lord will bring sores on their heads of the women of Zion. The Lord will make their scalps bald. Sounds pretty severe, isn't it? So as you see, the reason for this strict judgment was that the women of Zion left God's righteousness and turned into using their beauty for pride and disgraceful deeds, for seducing and spreading adultery among God's chosen nation. The fifth misunderstanding people often have striving for beauty is that they don't realize that the real beauty is complete only when there is a harmony between physical body and soul. There is a famous aphorism expressed by a Russian classical writer, Anton Chekhov. Everything should be beautiful in a person. Face, clothing, soul, and thought. You probably have noticed many times that an ordinary looking person turns to be very attractive after a while when you get to know his or her personality better. And the opposite, a beautiful face at first glance may seem to be pretty ugly later. Harmony. There is harmony. As a musician, I really like this word. And having a little bit of artistic perception of this world, I like an idea. But I have to mention that harmony is not a biblical concept. You won't find this word there. Some translations use it, though, but not the original languages of the Bible. The idea of harmony came from Hellas or ancient Greece. I'm just telling this information for those who are curious, who like history and cultures. Maybe you've heard of a Greek goddess named Harmony. So it's a kind of derived from a pagan culture. It used to be strictly a mythological and later a philosophical concept. Harmony of spheres, coordination of the universe, cosmos. But it's not the only reason why we don't find this word in the Bible. God is directly showing us. He's showing to us what the priority is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, says the Bible. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Physical beauty is a short-term and fragile thing that vanishes fast. But soul is what will meet an eternity. Over and over in the Bible we hear an advice to care more about our hearts and souls than about our bodies. To decorate our souls with virtues and good deeds, rather than decorating our bodies with beautiful jewels and clothes. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a person who fears the Lord is to be praised, says the Bible in the Proverbs. God does not care how we look, because He's holding the picture of our soul, and this is what He really evaluates. So let's ask God to help us not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, not to worship its idols, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Take my life and form it. Take my mind and conform it to yours. Let us pray while singing this song, and then we'll spend a few minutes in a quiet prayer.
Holiness, holiness is what I what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind and transform it. Take my will and conform it to yours, to yours, O Lord. Righteousness. Righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me. Brokenness. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want from me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, to yours, O Lord. To yours, to yours, O Lord.
During our quiet prayer, just try to imagine how does the picture of your soul look in front of God. If you realize that you were worshiping idols, either beauty or others, ask God to forgive you. There is no better time than today. If you never asked God to come into your life to transform you, there is no better time than now to ask Him. So close your eyes and bow your head and ask God, sincerely ask God to show you the picture, where you are. Are you in danger? Is your soul in danger? Ask God to cleanse your soul with His blood. He died for you. Dear God, we bring to you our hearts tonight, and you know how they look. We cannot hide them from you. We can hide from people, from ourselves, but not from you. And you know what's the best for us. You love us, you know that. So we just ask you, help us to be sincere with you. Help us to be open to you, so you could change us, to bring our souls and our hearts tonight to you. Ask him to cleanse them and to keep us yours. Please help us to be on your way, to abide in your word, and to follow all your ways. Gonna sing, Lord, I give you my heart. Let's put all our hearts in this word. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Is that all the prayer requests for tonight? Well, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for Savannah's sermon. Lord, thank you for everything, and let us take this lesson and share it. Lord, be with us tonight as we travel home. Lord, please be with us the rest of this week and help us to continue and grow stronger in our faith. Lord, please be with Casey Duncan and the Edmondson family and all the other prayer requests mentioned and the ones unspoken. In your name we pray. Amen. Awesome God, oh,